Hello, one and all, and welcome to the 252nd episode of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, recorded on Monday, April 29th, 2024. On the podcast today, myself, Lucas DeRuyter, Ryan Holtz, and Andrew Clark are going to give our pitches for our own Vault Tech-style social experiments inspired by the Fallout show, the Fallout series. Anyone got a good one? Anyone want to kick us off?
I have one. I don't know how good it is.
Okay.
I mean, you had kind of posed this question to us kind of in a somewhat benevolent sense, like an idiotic benevolent sense, like something that could be construed as like helping society work better, but is definitely destined to fail.
Right.
So I picked one where it's like in the spirit of like eliminating gender inequality. We have a vault set up where the men and women live separately, definitely, or like live together in the same vault, but like don't like socialize and don't like work the same jobs for the sake of and like except for the sake of like reproduction.
Yes.
And every year there is a flip in who gets to be in charge and have the good jobs and who is like subjugated and has the shitty jobs.
I see.
Like you every year, like there's a re-election of the overseer where the overseer has to be a woman this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman, you know, they get to be like in like the positions of power. And then next year it all flips on its head and the men take that position and then see how long it takes for like a complete class uprising or a denial of the rules to happen where men just say, you know what, we're not going to flip this year. We're going to keep it like this. Or the women do the same thing.
I love this. Largely because there is a, I want to say it like misbelief in psychology, that like the Stanford prison experiment wouldn't work if it was with college-aged women instead of college-aged men.
Yeah.
And I love this idea that's just like, yeah, we're going to do Stanford prison experiment kind of, but along gender lines. And
I like the idea of it. Yeah. Like being like rotated out where, ooh, you have all the power and then it all gets taken away from you on a yearly basis. And to see, you know, like, oh, that makes them appreciative of the people that are like lower than them during their period of power because they've been in their position. Mm-hmm. And I think it would do the opposite.
Yeah. I think it would be the senior freshman thing where it's I went through this. So
we're going to brutalize you even worse. Kind of like the Maximus thing where it's like, yeah, when I came in, everyone beat the shit out of me. So when Maximus came in, I was like, hey, great idea. What if we beat the shit out of him? Man, I really wished he would have lived long enough to find someone to beat the shit out of.
Yeah, no, pretty much it's likely to become pendulum theory, where it's like in American politics, each party gets progressively more and more extreme because, yeah, the other party is reacting to whatever they reacted to.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. What
Ryan,
could go wrong?
What's your idea for a Vault Tech social experiment?
I'm just sick of like how every vault has like an overseer and like a hierarchy and everything like that. So mine would have no hierarchy. That's the basis of it. Every single person is a member of an elite team of like, we are the water purifying team. We are a cohesive unit. There is no like no one giving orders. We are all explicitly working together. Like every single person has a specific role. None of them are better or worse than the others. Everyone is so good at their role. Everyone in that vault is tasked with being a super expert on one individual part of vault life. And so anytime there's an issue that is raised in the vault, like if there's like, oh no, well, we got to think about reallocating this crop or blah, 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 blah. They talk to that specific expert and that specific expert makes that call on that specific thing every single time. Every little tiny minute detail has a specific person who's like essentially whole existence is that thing. And then you ask them, what is it? What's the call? What's the move here? And yeah, no, like it's basically like an extreme version of the old-fashioned Wisconsin idea, where it was like our university system has a lot of experts that are really smart in a lot of fields. Maybe our government should listen to them about policy decisions. But yeah, taking that to the absolute extreme, where there's not even an executive to make calls. It's just fully decentralized, non-hierarchical, everyone following along.
Yeah, like there is no, there's nobody that's the government expert. There's not the like decision-making expert. Like that's what you're saying. There's no overseer, there's no class system. It's just everybody is good at something.
Everybody's got one thing that like that's their thing, and there's no foot to be trodden upon. Everyone has to figure that out. And yeah, sure, would someone in the quote unquote like higher powered position probably end up like staging a hostile takeover of like the sewage department or something, like probably, but that's Vault Tech, baby. Like that's I'm Andrew, yours reminded me of there was a vault with the sacrifice one, which is what was that based on? What's that short story where they have to stone someone or whatever? Fuck, what is that short story? I don't know.
I don't know that one.
Oh yeah, it's a classic short story where yeah, everyone in the village has to pick one person to stone every single year. Like it's like an offering. Yeah, and they had that in the vault. That was one of the experiments. And like eventually it gets so bad that like there's like these wars and these factions and blah 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 blah, and finally one of the factions kills all the other factions, and when it comes time to make a sacrifice the next year, they say no, fuck it, we're in power, we're not going to make any sacrifices. And then like the vault does like
It was like, good
congratulations,
job.
you've succeeded in the experiment by not sacrificing anyone.
That
Like
That one,
everyone's
I think
dead.
that one's so iconic because it's an experiment that could only be conducted in a fascist model of society. And the point of the experiment is, oh, can these people overcome fascist conditioning?
Yeah.
I love it.
And they can't.
No. Wow, you guys really thought these out and made some interesting socially cogent ones rooted in psychology. Mine's dumb. I want a vault that is one director and 99 PAs, and their entire job is to come up with safety videos, produce post-apocalyptic survival safety videos like the interstitials you get in Fallout 4. Which I think would be very fun to see how they do that, to see how that works for a while. But then, of course, and Ryan, maybe you can speak to this a little bit better, being a bit more familiar with those personality types who gravitate towards directorial and different production positions. They're just, as time goes on, as the vault stays sealed, probably for longer than expected, they just get weirder and more paranoid and more anxious. And maybe start inventing stuff, which would be fun on a gameplay level to be like, oh, they made a safety video for this monster in the Fallout universe that does not exist because they are just, because they got a deadline. They got to keep putting stuff out. So they're getting weird and paranoid about it.
I mean, I think it would be more interesting because if it's 99 PAs, first off, right off the bat, you're going to have about 50 writers. Like, because assuming the director job is filled, so now you have every other job on the movie set being filmed, like filled in by PAs. So right off the bat, yeah, most of those PAs, the majority, are gonna want to be writing these things. So now you have, I don't know how they would rotate. Like, oh, I don't want to be the grip. Like, I'm the director of cinema. I'm the cinematographer on this one. I think that would again be very interesting to see how the hierarchy plays out when you've got one assumedly megalomaniac director and then 99 people who don't really have like a ton of expertise in any specific part of the filmmaking process, but probably all want some, like a generally more glamorous part and not I don't want to be the best boy. Like, what do you mean? That's below the line work. Like, you really want me to be a rigger? No.
The idea of being in a union becomes mythologized
Yeah.
in the vault.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Also, would they be animated or would this be live action? Because the ones we've seen are usually animated.
Yeah, to their discretion, you know? I feel like that's a
Oh.
maybe that's how a faction breaks out. Maybe that's how the infighting begins. Want you to take it in an animated direction versus no, this is all done with very practical effects because I don't think special effects exist in the Fallout universe.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't really talk about it very much. I mean, he's on a movie studio
Yeah.
in the Fallout show.
They
So,
still have
like,
black and white film.
right, if you have a sound stage, then in theory, like, you're doing some level of special effects, whether there's CGI, I don't think so, but like, you know, you're doing some old-fashioned special
Practical
effects.
effects, yeah.
Yeah, it's the real deal. They used green screens before the invention of computers. Like
Huh?
they did chroma keying type stuff. It's weird to think about, but yeah.
Used to be a blue screen, if I recall correctly.
It just depends on the color of clothing they wear. People still use blue
Right.
screens today. It depends on like the colors that are being used in the scene, whether you use blue or green, because obviously you can't have your clothes on that green or blue background. So yeah, you'll see some behind the scenes of like Marvel movies where it's just like this creepy blue room and it's like, ugh, gross.
I did start playing the original Fallout, by the way.
Wow, where'd you get
Really?
it?
Esoteric, a little tricky, does not explain itself super well, like a lot of computer games from the 90s, but holy shit, really strong opening.
I think most people agree that it's like some of the best writing of the entire
Ever.
series. Yeah, like
Yeah.
it's really, really well done in terms of storytelling. So
Yeah,
it's not like fun gameplay, but it's like interesting and well written and cool to follow along with.
the opening of on a 50s black and white TV that as it slowly pans out, it's revealed that it is somehow still broadcasting despite the nuclear apocalypse being in the background. And yeah, it opens with you guys have probably seen the clip, but like, yeah, two dudes in power armor, one of them domes a guy, just executes a guy who's tied up on his knees, and then they laugh about it. And
Yeah.
apparently that was the protagonist of Fallout 4 that we were playing as, but
That's the weird, yeah, writer of the show saying that. I don't think that's canon.
no, I
It is
hope
a
not.
fun meme that like, oh yeah, he fought in the Canadian, what's it called? The Canadian Annexation War. And that was a Canadian resistance fighter getting fucking executed.
I also didn't realize that like the first game takes place only 50 years after the bombs fell, after it turned into the wasteland, which
I thought it was a little bit more than that. I thought it was like almost 100 years or something.
now 50 years, they're like a full generation has passed, and now you enter the world completely unaware of what it's like out there now. I'm not far enough to see how that like quite permeates, but yeah, no, I just told the dude about like, hey, you should try to do crop rotation to grow enough food to survive. Yeah, that I don't know how long I'll stick with it. A pretty short game, it's my understanding. I think I can beat it in like 10 hours, but I don't know. Yeah, it's weird so far. Good weird.
Says that, yeah, it was, what is that, 84 years later?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
Huh.
because I think Fallout 76 is the earliest one, and that was 75 years, right?
Okay.
After the bombs dropped. So, yeah. But no, significantly earlier than like what is being explored recently with Fallout 3 and on. So, it's
Rhiannon.
interesting. Yeah.
I'm gonna talk about them. I'm gonna talk about the QAnon companion, Rhiannon.
There you go. I feel like most people, yeah, were like, oh, yeah, Fallout 4, let's do it. And then I love how you're just no,
The
back to the
roots.
beginning. Are you gonna play Fallout 2 after this then?
We'll see. My gaming backlog is a little full, and also I have some feelers out there on like, hey, if you'll pay me to write about this game, I can play this game for you.
So you can play it anyway, but you're just trying to.
They don't know. They don't. They don't have to know that I already spent the money and they're just reimbursing me for a prior purchase. They don't got to know that.
Did you get it on Steam? I saw it's not too bad. It's like $10.
Oh yeah.
And, garage sale level.
It runs beautifully. That as you would expect, but I don't know, some of those
it's
older
a
games,
25-year-old video game,
right? Like, right, but I know some of those get like weird. Some of those are like, ah, this monitor is flat and not curved, so this is gonna look terrible on it, but holding up well.
Love it.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys care about this, but this is a weird business development in video games. The notorious and nearly bankrupt Embracer Group is splitting into three companies, supposedly so that it can keep buying up studios and not release any games.
It's just doing like a Gawker and just like catch and killing, but like with companies.
Yep.
They hate video games. They're just like weird. Not Quakers. What's the early American, fuck, it's not.
You're talking about Whigs?
No, like the early American religious group, in
Calvinists?
Like, in the Salem witch trials, Puritans.
Yes.
They're just like Puritans, and they're like, oh, the video games are the work of Satan, so we're going to use our considerable resources to kill video games. Which is buying every video game studio and then killing it.
It's like the Joker. Like, but how are we going to stop the video games? Simple. We kill the games.
Yeah.
It actually is kind of something. They're saddled with a lot of debt, and a part of splitting into three companies is potentially dispersing that debt. But more realistically, what I think is going to happen is they're just going to load that all on one division of the company now, and then do a bankruptcy on that so that the fucking executive class can walk away from all of this scot-free. But that does mean that some beloved video game brand or tabletop game brand or IP is just going to go away.
Embrace such is life.
Yeah, but Embracer Group bought Settlers of Catan forever ago. And for my money, I think that that's the one that's going to get saddled with debt, because realistically, they could never like print another Settlers of Catan game. And there is an excess of them in the market. You can get Settlers of Catan. You will be able to get Settlers of Catan until society collapses. Like, we got those. We're good.
Yeah, but like if they stop printing them, eventually it's going to be a thing where like, hey man, I found a beat up copy of Settlers of Catan on eBay. It's $475.
Just Fallout universe, but instead of bottle caps, people are walking around with full Settlers of Catan kits.
At the very least, the weird like hexagon world building things that you use.
Oh, I have so many wheat tiles. This is great. Hey, I've been following this too closely, but is net neutrality back?
It is. Kind of.
Yeah. Hey.
They did it.
Either of y'all have the deets on this?
I was literally asking about it like 2 weeks ago. I was just like, so why did we not bring back net neutrality again? Like, why is that not a thing? And then I saw a news article. And I was like, oh.
It's like, it's back.
Finally.
Yeah. I guess it took a while. Just like, yeah.
Yeah, it took a while for like them to even do away with it in the first place during Trump's regime.
Right.
So I guess, yeah, it just takes a bit to reverse course. But yeah, thank God. And I love how everyone's like, yeah, but look, like nothing happened, just like we thought. And it's like, how many states put in their own net neutrality laws? Like,
yeah,
these companies are hampered. Like, they can't just have different web traffic policies for different look at like that would be a ton of extra effort from them. So yeah, no, they were kept in check by states doing the right thing.
And just for full transparency, because it has been a while since this is a talking point, net neutrality is the legislation or the collection of legislation that prevents internet service providers, ISPs, from just throttling data, from worsening their service, for sporadically charging more for better internet connection? I'm generalizing, but is that a fair summation?
Basically, just the discriminating against data. The whole point of neutrality is that they have to treat all data equally, and if that is revoked, then they can start discriminating and being like, oh, this is streaming data, we're going to throttle this. Oh, this is, you know, from a website that we don't like, we're going to throttle, you know, like they can start picking and choosing where the fast lanes go. Mm-hmm. And like, for example, some of these companies own streaming platforms, so they could start throttling Netflix and Max and stuff, and then increasing their own like speeds on their own services. So yeah,
kind of like, okay, I'm remembering now the comparison of, it's like if a privatized highway didn't have any off ramps to parts of a neighborhood where they didn't own the businesses or weren't partnered with those businesses. Those businesses weren't paying them for an off ramp so people could get there.
Or maybe just like a, exactly. Like it's an interstate highway. Like, and yeah, there's all these exits where you can just pull straight into a restaurant and you'll get immediate service and you'll be like, wow, this is so amazing. Or you could get off on this dirt road and drive for 20 miles and eventually you'll find this stuff. But like, I don't know, you know, like it's, we're not, you're not blocked.
You're the option.
To go that way. But what are you really going to pick? Like, I think we know.
Ah, that is fantastic. And yeah, with my politics being what they are, just any base level accountability for private corporations that unfortunately are providing public services in their business, are responsible for maintaining the commons. That's not an ideal solution, just regulation on those businesses, but they're better than nothing.
The idea of an internet service provider being a private corporation is kind of fucked.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what can we do?
Now we can name 100 women. That's been a meme. Yeah. Have you guys seen any of that?
No.
I don't know that I could name 100 men. Right off the top of my head? Off the
like,
dome?
Yeah, I mean, if you gave me time, like if I could just come back, like, there's a person. Yeah, like,
can I
name
like
100 people? Like,
residents of my hometown? You have to be notable women?
Any 100 women, yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's 50. Easy. Like that. I can knock out half of them with just like people I grew up with. I could name classmates. I could name... Oh, never mind. Yeah, this is easy. I assume they had to be like, yeah, notable. And I'm like, yeah, that could get tricky. But I think the same thing with men.
You just got to like work through a category. You know, like, okay, let's think about people I knew in high school. All right, let's think about like distant relatives. Okay, let's think about people I knew in college. Okay, let's think about professional athletes. Okay, now let's think about actresses. Let's think about politicians. And you get... Like towards the end there, you might be like, oh man, I only have 87. It's now I got to go back and rethink, add a couple more.
That's a good time.
Yeah. I mean, with the timing element, a lot of people are jumping in between like people they know personally versus like, oh, this is a celebrity with a kind of similar name or whose name just
right.
The way we process information in our brains isn't super, I don't know, computational. So I don't know, whatever reason associating this name, this person with this person. So then you get weird stuff. I think Will Neff of Fear and Molding and Nothing Else, as far as I'm concerned, most of his list ended up being porn stars, but like, Jesus, that's 100 women. That counts.
Oh, God.
But those aren't their real names. Is that a bit of a downgrade? I don't know. You're referring to people by their performing name.
Hey, listen, man, I think Cher would... she's on this list. That's fine. Andrew, I know Cher. Jade's more into this band than I... is ABBA a band or a person?
It's a band. It's also not entirely women. I think it's like 2 women and 4 men or something.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why, but in my mind, ABBA is like, a lady, ABBA.
No, it's a band.
Okay.
It's 2 women, 2 men. Okay.
Yeah, they hate each other too, right?
Yeah, they do not. Yeah, they do not work together. It's like a less charismatic Fleetwood Mac.
A less charismatic Fleetwood Mac. Wow, that is
No, look,
bar.
Abba's music is fucking legendary. Definitely more successful than Fleetwood Mac, but I don't think they have the charisma.
What
I don't
about the
got the
mamas and the
riz.
papas?
Huh?
Where do they sit?
I feel like they don't have the standing appeal, like just because of the amount of songs people still listen to. But like I
Right.
had California Dreamin'
Yeah.
stuck in my head literally all weekend.
Just because the one guy, God, what did he do? Did he kill his daughter? Or did he have like a sexual relationship with his daughter? I don't remember.
I don't know anything
Jesus.
about those
And then I
people.
think one of them died. Like I think one of the women died,
Yeah,
and
one of
but
the
the
women
guy's
died early.
was a horrific person, like on another level bad person. But yeah, California Dreamin', eh? Ain't it fun?
I got no follow-up to that. I got no pivot to that. We just gotta start talking about Civil War, Andrew.
Hey, has
God.
anyone else seen this movie?
No.
No. Oh, I kind of
I've
thought you
seen it
guys would
get
have checked it out.
Well, I've seen it get dragged by everyone on my Twitter feed.
Yeah, it's one of those movies where I haven't seen a single like mid review of it. People either love it or they fucking hate it. And I the reasons that people love it, I don't really agree with, and the reasons that like I see people hating on don't make any sense. Like I've seen people call this pro-Putinist propaganda, which is just completely asinine. It's fully unfounded that people are like, this movie is anti-American propaganda, but like in a fascist way of like oh, this movie is like falling into like Chinese tropes about America being so divided that we're gonna eat ourselves alive, and that like, oh, this is Putin's dream. This is pro-fascism, shit like that. It's just those criticisms are completely unfounded. And the people that like really, really, really fucking like this movie, I think are like drawing more meaning out of it than there is. The messaging is really confusing. And I know I'm doing the thing where you called me out on this the other week, Lucas, where it's like, hey, I really like this thing. Here's 10 things I don't like about it. And then
As
following up with, it's really good. You should check it out.
someone who falls into that as well, I see myself in that. So, as much a call out of me as it is of you.
Yeah, I'll start with some positives and then I'll hit the negatives. Really, really good looking movie. The cinematography and the imagery is really impactful. Fantastic performances. It's really well acted. I like the sort of like almost Odyssey type feel where it's like all these separated vignettes of what's happening through this country as the Civil War is like about to end. Because like this is like over the course of 3 days at the very end of the war. You don't see like, and then America split up and it entered into this war. Like in this world, the war's been going on for a while and the president is losing. This kind of Trump type president is just kind of railing from his bunker a la Hitler about, I will only accept unconditional surrender from the Western forces. Like we will never surrender, like as DC is falling around him, like that sort of shit. I think they do a good job of world building. And for better or worse, I thought about this movie for like 3 days. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I had a hard time sleeping because the violence is pretty fucked. There's just a lot of executions. It is, and because it's doing a good job of showing like how fucked up war is in like the sort of like everyday life sort of way, how it's like very nonchalantly like, yeah, let's go kill a couple prisoners, why not, like sort of way. And yeah, on the negative side, I think that its messaging and its sort of lessons that you're supposed to take away from it are a bit confused because it's not really a movie about like America being divided. It's not a movie about like our differences being, one way or another, or like trying to like definitively take a side on the like right versus left debate, even though like the president is definitely the bad guy in this movie. And it's kind of implied that he did away with like the judicial system and he imposed martial law and he had a bunch of Antifa people executed and super racist and shit like that. Like, they definitely say that that's a bad thing, but they don't portray the people fighting against him as the good guys either. And the movie is more about journalism than like how bad war is or like how divided America is. And it's kind of like, man, journalism's important. But there's a really stupid line that kind of takes away from that message where this young photojournalist is like really shaken up because she's never been on a battlefield before. And the more experienced photojournalist is like, hey, like, you can't get involved. We're journalists. We don't ask questions. We record so other people ask questions. And it's like, that's not what journalism is. That's not what journalism is.
I'll talk a little bit about it in a bit, but yeah, I did a journalism over the weekend and I asked a lot of questions.
Yeah. And I kind of think what they were going for was like Kirsten Dunst's character, this very accomplished war photojournalist, was kind of haunted by her like philosophy of like just recording and not getting involved and not trying to like say, like send a message one way or another and letting the people decide. And like towards the end, kind of like pushing for a journalism is supposed to take a side. It's supposed to show the truth and like fight for that truth, not just recording. But it kind of comes a little too late for it really to mean anything, where she finally steps in and does something about it. But yeah, it was kind of a little too late, where it's like showing that she like routinely just like gets up in people's faces and records them as they're about to be burned to death. And like not helping people as they're laying around wounded and just like taking photos of them. So yeah, the messaging is just a little weird. I don't really know what Alex Garland was specifically trying to say. But I think the criticisms of the movie kind of seem unfounded, and the like, oh my God, this is the best movie ever phrases are also kind of contrived. So I'd give it a watch. I would recommend the movie if you're not looking, or unless you're not looking to, I don't know, be desensitized to violence for a bit.
Any explanation on why California and Texas are all buddy buddy?
Well, that's another thing that I think people seem to get really hung up on for no reason, where it doesn't seem like Texas and California are not like forming their own country. They're not like, and we're the Republic of the two states. Like, the Western forces, which is California and Texas, are the military might of the people based in California and Texas that are standing up against this very tyrannical dictator that has established himself as like the God Emperor of America, who
But it
like
looks like
broke.
there are multiple factions. Are the
Yeah,
other.
the other factions aren't really focused on very much. Like, a couple part of it is that there's a couple of instances where no one's really clear who's fighting who. But like the other two factions are like the Florida Alliance, which is like Florida and Georgia and the Carolinas or something, where they are like succeeding. They are trying to form their own country, but like it's not really working because they're not going out to conquer other states. They're just trying to convince other states to join their cause, and they're fighting over the land that they already have. And then there is the like a very brief reference to a like communist movement in the Northwest that
The New People's Army.
the New People's Army, which they refer to as the Portland Maoists, but like they're literally only mentioned once.
Minnesota's a part of it, apparently. Not
Yeah, I
Wisconsin.
when I looked up like kind of an explanation of some stuff that was going on, I found the territory map, but like that is not something that's established in the movie. I don't know if like Alex Garland released that just for world building, but you don't see that in the movie. You don't see, oh, the communist movement has Montana or shit like that.
It is a little strange that the marketing would focus on that dimension of the film so much when it sounds like, yeah, the actual work of reporting on this. I didn't realize the Civil War was ending in this movie until you said that. So yeah, I don't know. It's weird that it's hyping up that element of the film when, like, within the story, like that is about to rapidly not matter.
Yeah.
But, okay.
And even like some of the marketing is a bit, I wouldn't say that it's misleading, but like the famous scene, I'll call it famous now, with like Jesse Plemons wearing the red sunglasses being, "What kind of American are you?" For one thing, that was a very like stressful scene. Like, I think people kind of focused on that for a reason. Like, that was a really harrowing scene, but that wasn't even like a, "Oh, America's divided. What kind of American are you? Like, what faction do you belong to?" That was a like a racism thing. That was Jesse Plemons being part of like a white nationalist militia that took these reporters because some of them weren't white.
Ah.
And like one of the reporters is clearly Latino and speaks with an accent. And they're like, he's like, "We're American journalists." He's like, "Yeah, but what kind of American? Like Central American, South American? I know you're not American American." Like that's where that was going. And he like, then he fucking executes a dude because he says he's from China.
What? Yeah, okay, no, I'm fully pinning this one on the marketing. This sounds like a much more interesting movie than any of the trailers have made
yeah,
out.
Yeah, this is not really a war movie, except for the last 20 minutes, which is a very, it's, you know, on par with any other, like, famous action war movie in terms of, like, the violence in the last 20 minutes, the military operation to take over the White House. I won't tell you how it ends, but it's...
fantastic.
It's
Ryan.
Weird that they, sorry,
oh,
no.
No, go
I just
for
said
it.
One more thing. Isn't it kind of weird that they overcomplicated it then with these other like factions? Couldn't they have just been like the US government and the resistance states? Like, why did they have to like, yeah, do this whole like Texas and California are fighting, but then there's also these other groups and, you know, like it's like fractured and blah blah. Like, couldn't they have just been like, "Oh, it's the federal government and then the splinters, the resistance."
I think that was just a little extra world building to be like, yeah, if America as we know it actually like fell into a civil war at this point, it wouldn't just be two sides. There would be people breaking away on their own and doing their own shit. I think so.
There'd be people breaking away, but you really think that like state governments would be capable of like, "Oh, we're gonna band together with like, yeah, these two other states and make our own,"
yeah,
you
but
know, like, I just don't.
As the main war is going on, like the Washington State National Guard is not going to be focused on like keeping the communist forces from going into Idaho. They're going to be like congealing around the Capitol trying to fight back the main forces from Texas and California.
So you think the National Guard would be loyal to the federal government?
Well, one way or another,
isn't
either
that the whole thing?
Well,
yeah.
whether like they're either joining like the main forces to fight against the federal government or defending
yeah.
it, like
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's my whole thing. It's like, yeah, wouldn't it just end up being like the people that are capable of making like military level decisions would either be pro federal government or not pro
yeah,
federal
but
government, and
the
then those
actual
would be the two
military
sides.
forces
Right.
are in that, yeah, one or another. And the other factions that are coming up are not like the National Guard. Like, those are militias. Those are people staging movements. I mean, the People's New Army, that's not like the National Guard in those states being like, "Let's be communist, lol." Those are, that's a, like a farmers uprising type thing.
But then, yeah, like how they've clearly overtaken the government in those areas, right? So then, yeah,
I don't think that there was any resistance at that point, because I think that those forces would have been off fighting the main war in the east.
Right. So yeah. So at that point, I don't know.
Also,
it's just interesting.
I know that we think of the American military as being fairly uniform in a broad sense, but yeah, if there was a civil war, it'd be interesting to see how that split across divisions, because not in the U.S., but in a lot of civil wars that had defined Latin American politics for a while in the 20th century. You get terms like constitutionalist, like federalist thrown around to denote when a military leader broke with the actually elected officials and were like, you're not actually following through on the leading principles of this country, in my opinion. So the Navy is rebelling against you.
Yeah, I mean, Lucas, you and I saw it when we watched Death of Stalin, like the hey, we need to get Zhukov on this side because he controls the army. The army's loyal to him. Like, if something like this went down in America, you kind of think about, yeah, how many of the troops would be loyal to the president and how many would be loyal to their commanders or like their states? You know, like if you're in the National Guard and the governor says, I'm ordering you to go attack Washington. How many of them would be like, well, I take orders from this dude. He's the one paying me. I'm going to do what he says. Or no, I'm going to be loyal to, you know, the federal forces and shit like that.
God, Zhukov kicks ass in that movie.
He
I
does.
honestly, he did. Yeah, you know what? He told me we're doing a coup. I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
Right, in the movie The Death of Stalin, Zhukov literally says, "All right, let's do a coup."
Yeah, it's like, all right, let's do a coup.
It's basically, yeah, just like our fascist, like presidents, fascist, you know, dictators, whatever you want to call them, are they pro-military enough? That's
Right.
all it is. Can they, if they can hold on to power, it's because they've greased the right palms in the military hierarchy, and yeah, they've found a way to keep the military on their side. I feel like fascists understand that that's what's going to keep them in power when popular opinion goes up against them. So yeah, in this world, I guess the fascists. President must have done something to anger Texas and California, which that is accurate, by the way. Like, I don't, that's why I think it's just so weird that, like, they split it that way because they could have just made it. Yeah. Like, Texas and California led a coalition of, you know, other states that kind of signed on to be the resistance. Instead, it's like, no, it's just Texas and California versus the world. But, like, that's accurate. Like, there's so much military presence in Texas and California that. Genuinely, yeah, they could probably take on the federal government and win, like be competitive. So
It, and
that's
they
what the bar is.
in the movie it showed that they fucking steamrolled
Yeah.
the rest of the federal government. That a lot of it was like, yeah, people were surrendering before the forces of California and Texas reached them. And they said, fuck this, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
And like all the generals were surrendering.
They knew
It's
it's
useless.
folly. California is the ninth biggest economy in the world. Like, I don't know. That's just economics. And then you
Texas is
talk about,
probably top 20,
yeah,
like.
Texas has, like, I don't even remember, something ridiculous, like 35% of the army bases. California has a fuck ton of Air Force bases and Marines, Navy. Like, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Again, you'd run into an issue of, wow, do they have the natural resources to sustain themselves without the rest of the country? But again, yeah, they just steamroll some of the
Yeah.
nearby states and you get those real quick.
You'd shock and awe, like you would be fucking Germany and Poland. Like you roll through places that are rich in natural resources pretty damn quick. California could get to Alaska before anyone else. That's all the resources you would ever need, basically.
There's also a throwaway line where they're like, the president's trying to negotiate extradition into neutral territory like Greenland or Alaska.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Alaska's a fucking shit show. But I don't know why California wouldn't immediately make a play with the natural resources of Alaska. It feels like that would be an easy win, easy dub.
Either through trade or military might,
Maybe at that point they'd been annexed by Russia or some shit in this. It doesn't really explain how far in the future
Yeah,
this
what year
is.
is this?
They don't say because everything looks the same. Like they still have the same like technology and cars and cell phones and shit. But it must either be like 20 years in the future or like an alternate history because they talk about like Kirsten Dunst's character who is supposed to be probably about 40 years old. And they're like, she was the youngest, person to like get on the Magnum photography, like top tier because of her famous photographs of the Antifa massacre, which obviously is not a thing that's happened currently, which is a thing that must have happened at some point in our future. And this is like 20 years after that. So.
I'm now able to better articulate the issue with this movie's marketing. This film presents a background, presents a lore that is just so incredibly inviting to explore, to think out, to compare to real world circumstances and situations, and how, oh man, could permeations of this like play out in reality at all? But then by the movie not focusing on that at all, by the sound of it, it's kind of like, oh, so we're not meant to engage with that, even though it's really fun to engage with that, and the ads seem to be inviting us to do so.
I think it's just a confusing movie in some ways. I'll stand by it being a good movie. Like, I'm gonna give it a high score. It'll probably be on my top 10 this year. But like, I see why people had issues with it. Like, especially since like the plot of the movie is this group of journalists trying to get to Washington, D.C. to try to interview the president before he's like forced to leave or be killed, because the war is about to be over. Like, this is the last story worth telling here. And like, the marketing would not lead you to believe that that's what's happening.
Right. That marketing made me think it like the war was about to start.
Yeah, they marketed it as a war movie, and it's not a war movie.
Ryan, what have you been checking out?
Me and Andrew, it sounds like we finished
Shogun.
Yeah,
that's done.
Yeah,
I don't know, are you ever gonna watch, Lucas? You are.
Depending on what y'all say about it, maybe.
Yeah, well,
this show has like a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way. Like, after we finished, I was like, what are other people thinking about this? And apparently they fucking love it.
Yeah, no, it's very popular. I think it was overall like good. It was good, and it just promised a lot, and I don't think it delivered a lot, but that's okay. Like, I don't, you know.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. I think other people seem to
think that it delivered, like, and then some, and I don't know if I agree with them.
Yeah. Mm. No, it was political drama. I feel like there was points where John Blackstone fucking took over the entire show, and it was like, what is happening? But by the end, I think it refocused a little bit more, thankfully. But it just then became kind of uneven and a little weird to watch because of that. I don't know. Yeah, I was not as up on the show as, thinking it's like show of the year or anything. It's in the mix. It could end up in the top tens, but the political drama was like uneven for sure. Some of the twists felt unearned, especially at the end. Like, it just,
there's some storylines that I don't think are really tied up.
Yeah.
Kind of ended abruptly, I'll say. But
it ended abruptly, but like, that would be how it works in real life. I think there just needed to be a little more, but maybe that's just like the like mysticism, like the, this is Japan, it's a foreign culture, like things are happening subtly, like, you know. But I don't know, it feels like there should have been a little bit more direct communication to bring the ending that we thought. But by the way, like, this was the ending that I knew would happen when they said, what's it called, when I learned it was a limited series, I was like, oh, this is how it's gonna end then. That's not as fun. Like, I was hoping we'd get a little bit more, there'd be a little more intrigue. And I was like, I know exactly how this will end as soon as it was revealed to me that it's a limited series. So I don't know. It's mentioned in the History of Japan YouTube video, which I knew it was. So then I had to rewatch History of Japan afterwards. I was like, I'm not 100% positive on how it ended, but like, or who would win necessarily. Once I had learned it was a limited series, I was pretty confident. But I was like, I can't watch that History of Japan video, even though I really want to, because I know it'll say who wins. So,
history, the ultimate spoiler.
Yeah, a little bit. So, because it starts with like, oh, and then the Taiko comes and he, you know, annexes the rest of Japan and finally does it. But then he dies. And then he says, before he dies, hey, you five guys, take care of my 5-year-old son until he's of age.
Oh, no.
Like, yeah, right. It's not going to be that kid. It's going to be one of us. And it's probably going to be this guy. Like, and I was just like, I wonder who that is. And now I've rewatched it. And I'm like, I know. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah. All right, very cool. I might check that out. I don't know if I have another piece of media that I really want to shout out, but I was in San Francisco reporting on the San Francisco Film Festival on Saturday. That was my first time as an adult flying to a city for work and then flying back home all in the same day. Which, cool. I feel like an adult. I feel like a professional doing that. Also exhausting. People do not talk about
Yeah.
how exhausting that is.
I don't, do you have to specify for work? You've done that in your personal life?
No, that's the first time
Yeah.
I've done that
I was gonna
period.
say, I don't think most people ever do that. That's a pretty intense schedule.
To be somewhere for a few hours and then get back to the airport and go home, that sounds like my worst nightmare.
I maintain I would have been fine. I would have been golden if my return flight hadn't gotten delayed by about two hours.
Damn.
And then at that point, I am just like sleepwalking. I'm not entirely sure how I got home. Going through receipts, I took an Uber, but I was just shuffling through LAX at that point. I don't know how to feel about San Francisco. Kind of feels like a bougier Boston. People got upset with me on social media for saying that, but I speak the
Oh
truth.
wow. You got some blowbacks. Is this blue sky? This is the Haven blue sky. There's flaming going on.
He's making enemies.
I'm ruffling feathers.
Wow.
I saw Alcatraz. That was neat.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. It's
Wait, you
kind of.
went there or you just saw it from afar?
I saw it from the shore.
Oh, okay. I was like, you had time to go to Alcatraz? What the fuck?
And he got arrested. He got put in Alcatraz and he had time to escape.
Wouldn't it take me that long to swim there? I would have
He
been
had to make
fine.
that red eye.
I don't know. Interview should be coming sometime this week. I don't know. Support short film, support short animation, support independent filmmaking because, boy, as we've kind of alluded to repeatedly throughout this episode, specifically, a lot wrong. There's a lot wrong with media production in the 2024. And while macro level solutions are really difficult and maybe untenable under America's current economic structure, micro level stuff, like if that just becomes more popular, more common, more supported, that seems like a genuine path towards change, towards improvement. But yeah, what do I know? It's just my hot take.
Love it.
Also, a lot of billboards for like AI in San Francisco, but I think that's like a because AI is mostly made there thing, like how movie billboards are super common in Los Angeles. That's
That's
another
where
weird
they
thing about
keep
San
the
Francisco.
glowing orb that produces the AI.
Also, a lot of wind. Didn't know San Francisco was a windy city, but yeah.
The real Windy City.
Take that, Chicago. Nah, that's not fair of me. We cool, Chicago. All
Yeah,
right.
what are you gonna call Chicago, like a dirtier Philadelphia or something like that?
Every city is a blankier other
Another
city
city.
when you think about it. There's not many unique cities on this planet. Can pretty much always make some sort of comparison to another city.
Every city is like another city is the 11th hour name of this podcast. I love it.
Yeah, I genuinely believe that. I don't think there's a city unique enough that you can't say it's a blankier insert other city.
Even like the biggest, most famous cities, like, I'm not saying that like you would find one that's a worse version of another city, but yeah, you can say New York is just a bigger insert city,
Yeah.
New York is a busier Chicago. Like,
I
Tokyo is a cleaner.
Hong
It's a
Kong,
coast city.
like
Yeah, like just throw out random shit. It'll work.
as we established previously, what is Milwaukee but an American Nagasaki?
There you go. They're one to one.
Exactly. All
Milwaukee's first to go.
right.
Milwaukee's an Americaner Nagasaki. Perfect. Nailed it.
I can't think of a better note to end this one on. Thank you all so much for tuning in. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Support us on Patreon. Join the likes of the fantastic Tiffany Cole and Sucky Badger. Act the link in the description. Follow me on Blue Sky, Lucas Dreider over there. Keep up with all of my writing, all my shenanigans, all my hot takes. Yeah, everyone have a great week. And see you next time. Bye.